Are you all right?
Oh, yes. I didn't know you knew how to shoot.
My Aunt Katie, she made us learn. Gave prizes.
Bubbles felt shaky and ashamed of herself. She was supposed to be the leader here, and she'd fallen apart. She forced herself to stand, to stumble the few strides in the dark to where Rafa bent over the dying man. She was glad she couldn't see his face.
Oh, I thought they died quicker. They do on all the action cubes.
Rafa pushed a set of goggles into her hands.
Here, now we can both see, and we'll take his weapons and comm unit. I saw him after you started down. I didn't dare call.
Right.
I kept wanting you to go more to the right. Give me space. I was so scared.
For a moment, they clung to each other, shaking, wanting to cry, but knowing they had no time. Rafa finally pushed away.
Gotta go. They'll be coming.
Oh, dear.
Bubbles stood, staggering a little from the weight added to her original pack. They each had two rifles now, and a needler, and a comm unit, and more knives than they could possibly use. If they could get some of this back to Petrus, but they couldn't. Quickly, careless for the moment of the noise, they got themselves into the forest below. Now, with the night goggles on, Bubbles was glad of the covering darkness. She could see well enough to avoid hanging creepers, thorn bushes, and other hazards. She knew from her time on the open slope that no one without night goggles could see her. Of course, the others had them, but so did she. Soon she slowed and began listening again. She stopped completely for a moment. Bubbles realized how thirsty she herself was and took off her own knapsack, trying for silence. Where was the noisy wind when you needed it? The water eased her throat and washed away the foul taste of her nausea. Now she was hungry. She tapped Rafa's arm.
Eat now, while walking.
She could see Rafa's nod as clearly as if it were daylight. They had the survival rations from the flitter, tubes of thick goo that tasted of fat, sugar, and salt. Bubbles swallowed half of hers at once and tucked the rest into her pocket. She started off again more slowly, trying to remember how the land went on this side of the island. How far south were they, and how near was the swamp? Should they start back north and hope to work into the more rugged terrain along the north shore? Nothing moved in the woods around them. She remembered, from those childhood visits, flocks of birds and many small animals, lizards, some non-venomous snakes, land crabs. There was less undergrowth than she remembered, and she found it easy to walk between the trees. The slope flattened beneath her feet. The forest rose higher overhead, and even with night goggles, she couldn't see that much. Whenever she stopped to listen, her legs trembled. She knew they needed to rest. Rafa tapped her shoulder. Bubbles leaned close to her.
I think I hear water.
You're right. And they might have someone on the beach. Oh, it's narrow here.
Now which way, south or north? Her mind was clogged by exhaustion and fear. She had started out hoping to find her old hiding place, and then thought of Kell's Cave, wherever that was. But now, she wished she knew just where they were, and how far it was to someplace else.
I'd vote north, away from their camp.
For a moment, Bubbles wanted to protest. They had weapons themselves now, and night gear. They were as dangerous as the hunters. But they weren't really. They were untrained girls, and very tired. Staying as far from the hunter's camp as possible made sense.
Good idea.
Bubbles turned right, away from the beach. They walked slowly, as quietly as they could manage, stopping every few minutes to look around them. The walk took on a dreamlike character. The eerie landscape in the night goggles, that looked like something meant to be scary but done on a low budget. The silence. Their exhaustion that forced concentration on the simplest movements. When a great tree loomed up that Bubbles remembered from her childhood trips, she moved into the dense shadow of its massive bole and stopped.
Oh, we've got to rest. One of us can stay awake to watch. You sleep first.
Right.
Rafa's vague shape folded up to sit against the tree. Bubbles leaned, but did not sit. If she sat, she would sleep. She could not be scared enough to stay awake, not now. She fished the rest of the ration stick out of her pocket and ate it, and drank more water. Her legs ached. The pack straps seemed to burn along her shoulders, but she was afraid to take the pack off. What if they had to run for it? She realized then that she hadn't even checked to see if the rifle she carried was loaded. She fumbled at it. It wasn't exactly like the one she'd been taught to use, and she couldn't find the little doohickey. It had a name, but she'd never learned it, to release the clip. She found something sticking out of the stock and pushed it, and a line of red sprang across the space under the tree to another trunk. Desperately, she pushed the knob this way and that until it moved and the light disappeared. She stared around, sure that someone must have seen that red light, but nothing moved and no sound disturbed her. After a while, her heart quit trying to climb out of her mouth, and she tried to think what that had been. Firearms were not her hobby. She had learned to shoot only because of the Elfus hunts. Her father had insisted she must learn. Red light, a hum. Red light made her think of the vidcams in the drama department. Rangefinders. So it might be a rangefinder. And the hum, like the hum of the automatic focus adjustments. She felt carefully along the entire stock. A tiny flap covered a socket, pins inside. A connection for some computer attachment? She found three more buttons or knobs and left them alone. The scope. She lifted the rifle to her shoulder and tried to peer through it, but the goggles interfered. After a quick look around, she slipped them off and looked through the scope. It gave a brighter image than the goggles, in crisp grays rather than smudged greenish-yellow. Her finger found knobs on the scope, too. She left them alone and put her goggles back on. Something flared in her pocket, a small blinking light that the goggles made into a white beacon. Without goggles, through her pocket, it was hardly visible. The comm unit she'd taken from the first hunter, blinking a 2-3 sequence. When she looked at Rafa, asleep against the tree, her pocket too winked, this one a 2-2 sequence. She had not thought they might be locators, but now it seemed obvious. If she didn't reply with some code she could not know, the hunters would know where to look. They might know anyway.
Rafa!
What?
We have to get rid of them. If we leave them here, that's too close. We don't know how long it will take.
She felt like crying. She was so tired. She hadn't had any sleep, and it was too much. Rafa hugged her.
The locators. We'll throw them in the water. Let them think we tried to swim for it.
No, but they might be on the beach.
Rafa's hand tightened on her arm.
We're alive, and two of them are dead. Two unarmed, untrained society girls against trained hunters with night gear. And who has their weapons now? We're going to stay alive, and they're all going to be dead. And no, you're not going to have hysterics now. Take a deep breath.
Bubble's ribs ached.
Right. Sorry.
No problem. I got some sleep and you didn't. Now, let's get to the shore, and if someone's there, we'll blow him away.
Oh, I can't even tell if this thing is loaded. I tried to find out and got something that made a red light and hummed at me.
Really? Sounds like a massive rangefinder to me.